Good morning and happy Father's Day to all you great dads out there. I'm Twanda Black. And joining me this morning, Boyd Bailey. He's the founder of Wisdom Hunters, an Atlanta-based ministry that encourages Christians to live out God's unchanging truth in a changing world. And that is certainly true. He's written this wonderful book called 2 Minutes in the Bible for Men, a 90-day devotional. And good morning to you, Boyd.
Oh, hello, Twanda. Thanks for having me today.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Why 2 minutes?
You know, men are busy. We're all busy. And I was talking to my wife one day. I said, you know, we brush our teeth, we get a great outcome from taking 2 minutes to take care of our dental hygiene. Why not the same for our soul, our spiritual being? And so the thought came to me as a man, if we could just take 2 minutes, kind of like dollar cost averaging money, and saving it every day. If we could take 2 minutes spiritually and invest that in how God thinks about us and what he wants for our life and how we can be better husbands and fathers and leaders in our community, perhaps the Holy Spirit can take that two-minute investment and compound it over time. And those are the testimonies we're hearing, that it doesn't have to be an hour of prayer.
That's
it can
right.
be as little as 2 or 3 or 5 minutes of time with the Lord each day.
And also is that men don't like to read, so you got to make it short.
Exactly. And you have to make it very practical. So what I've tried to do by God's grace is take a verse of scripture that's very practical, talk about my own struggles, my own experiences, and make it something that they can apply to their everyday life.
Yes. You talk about one big thing, and my husband is going through this right now, is forgiveness. You know, it's funny, we'll say, well, I forgive, but I'm never going to forget. You know, and you kind of have to do both to make it work. But forgiveness can be very difficult for men.
It really is. And for me, I talk about this, my struggle with my dad. He left when I was 5, so I had a single mom and raised myself and my 2 brothers. And, you know, that really hurt. And never came to an athletic event, never came to a school program. And so when I became a Christian in college and I read the verse where it says, forgive others as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you, it's like, wow, that includes George Bailey, you know, my dad.
Yeah.
And you know, It's a Wonderful Life, you know, Jimmy Stewart movie, George Bailey. And so, Twanda, that was kind of my watershed. You know, it's like if I could forgive my dad, I could forgive anybody. And it was a process. It took time. You know, I would forgive him in my heart, and then the anger would come back, and I would still have that wound. And it took God's grace over a period of years to finally bring healing. But God's grace is powerful, and if we're willing, he can change our hearts, and he can change the hearts of those that we forgive.
That's right. That's right. It's so true. I think another big issue, and I talk to my husband and my sons about this all the time, is pride. And my pastor always says, you know, there's one thing that Satan doesn't have an answer for, and it's humility. So when you begin to learn how to take the wrong, and it's so hard to do because our flesh just rears up, you know, when somebody's doing something wrong to us or saying something wrong to us. But you talk about stubborn pride in here.
Yes, and humility is the key. It seems like pride every day is like the ocean waves coming in. You know, it never stops.
Right, right.
And, you know, and there's a good pride. We need to have pride in our work. We need to have pride in our children to grow in character. But most often for us, especially men, I think it's not a healthy pride. It's kind of taking matters into our own hands. We easily get our feelings hurt, or we think we have to be in control, or it has to be about us getting the credit. And so I think what humility does, as you were saying, Twanda, you know, humility is the gateway to grace. So, so the Lord says, I give grace to the humble, but I resist the proud. And I like what Augustine said. He said, you know, humility is the mother of all virtues. And I believe that. So we're kind of pride is the root of our sin many times. I think humility then is foundational for receiving God's grace. And once we receive God's grace, then we can walk in humility. And someone says, well, what does it mean to be humble? Well, I don't know exactly what it means, but it's one of those things where if you think you are, you're not.
Exactly.
You know, kind of thing. And I think humility is also kind of keeping us in a proper, healthy perspective of, you know, God is in his place and position. We don't need to try to aspire to be God.
Right.
We need to be who God's called us to be. And I think humility is also esteeming others better than ourselves. It's saying, wow, how can I serve this coworker today? Maybe it's not even in my job description, but
they
need help. And it makes the team healthier and stronger if I take the time to serve them even though I might not even get credit for it. But it's being it's an other-centered viewpoint and attitude.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, you talk about something, and my husband talks about this too, about, you know, being in the battle and you know, getting up to battle one more day. And you talk about battle fatigue. And I think a lot of men deal with that, and they deal with it sometimes in negative ways. But being tired of being beat down in the world and come home and got to be beat down and, you know, got to deal with all these different things. So you talk about battle fatigue.
Yes, Tawanda. You know, again, the enemy loves for us to just run, to strive and to run ourselves to death and to not take needed breaks and to take off on Sunday and literally let our brain rest and worship, fill our minds with worship of God instead of worry. And you know, that's where faith comes in. It's like I've struggled this in my own life, where I thought, well, I've got to figure this out, or I've got to work harder. And it's like God's saying, Boyd, if you would work less and work smarter and let me fill in the gap.
I got you, right.
Yeah. And I'll give you the strength, right, and I'll give you the encouragement. You know, sometimes the most spiritual thing we can do as men is to take a nap, you know, to rest and to take a few days off and love our wives and, you know, say, honey, I'm just taking off. Next Monday or whatever, I'm taking off and I want to serve you. And how, you know, what is it you need that I can help you with? And so, as men, I think a lot of times fear drives our fatigue and our exhaustion, because we think we have to be on top of everything. And the Lord's saying, no, this is why my son died on the cross for you, so you could trust him and his spirit can live within you to empower you and to strengthen you. And that one of my favorite verses is, the joy of the Lord
is my strength.
Is your strength. And when I lose my joy, I'm in danger of being so exhausted that I'm not fun to be around. And so calling a timeout, I think, just like a sports team has to call a timeout. Lord, what is it you're trying to teach me? How can I be revived in my spirit and strengthened so I can better serve my family and not spend all my time and worry and effort in my career?
That's right. That's right. And then when you get old, nobody ever got old and said, boy, I wish I worked more. Mm-hmm. What do they say? I wish I'd spent more time with my family.
Absolutely.
You know, every once in a while, and I do this, sometimes I'll call my boss, my VP, and say, look, I'm taking a mental health day.
Yes.
And he understands exactly what I mean. I mean, I'm burned out, I'm tired, and I just need a day. Need to do that. Need to do that.
Yeah.
I love this one, and it is so true. It's everyone's battle. I do not understand what I do for what I want to do. I do not do, but what I hate, I do. And that's Romans 7:15. And it's so true. We do our best to do things right, to have the right attitude, you know, to be on our best behavior. But sometimes our best is not good enough.
No, and this is where I think we need each other, Wanda. This is why we need community. You know, we is better than me. And accountability is important. And I like what Bob Goff says. He says, don't just hold me accountable, hold me close. Hold me close. And so having people in our life, I know years ago when we were first married, Rita and I decided, and we got this idea from Billy Graham, but we would never be alone with another person of the opposite sex because we just didn't trust ourselves. And we didn't want to set ourselves up for making unwise decisions.
That's right.
And Rita's told me over the years how it's helped her feel secure, helped her feel honored to know that we've got these guidelines, this accountability that we both have agreed on, and it's grown our trust and our love for each other. And so I think having men in our speaking to men, I would say having men in our life that we can be ourselves, that we can be honest about our struggles.
That's so true.
Honest when we're feeling tempted or exhausted. I'm actually in a group. I was with a group of guys for 10 years from age 40 to age 50, an accountability group. I'm in a new group now from age 55. I've asked them for a 10-year commitment, so it's actually from age 55 to 65, because I feel like as the more we get successful and the more autonomy we have in our life, the more accountability we need. But what happens is just the opposite takes place.
Right.
The more a person becomes successful, the more autonomy they have, they tend to isolate themselves, and that's when we make unwise decisions.
And it's so true. To me, we get full of ourselves, so we don't think we have to be accountable to anybody.
Riches,
that's right.
So
That's so true. Here's one of the big ones I think a lot of men deal with. I know I have two young men, 26 and 28, and you know, I often ask them about this, and it's purpose. And not your purpose, but what is God's purpose for your life? And there are some men, grown men, who still don't know what their purpose is.
Yes, here's how I like to describe purpose. When we lock into and align with God's will, it's actually going to save us time.
Mm-hmm.
And when we spend some time in prayer, prayer is an investment of time that ends up saving us time, because as we're listening to the Lord's voice, either through Scripture or through people that we trust, or just in a quiet moment of prayer, and he's going to help us understand, well, Boyd, really, today I don't want you to do this thing you actually had on your agenda.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, somebody else will take care of that. I want you to do this other matter that maybe doesn't seem as important to you, but it is to me.
Right.
So I try to encourage you guys, stay aligned with God's purpose for your life, because he's going to save you time, and make sure you're listening to how he can adjust your agenda as you go along. Here's the other thing I like to say about purpose is it's a good filter for decision-making.
Mm-hmm.
So I came up with this purpose statement years ago. Andy and Stanley and I were working together at his dad's church, and I was going through the Stephen Covey 7 Habits book.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I came up with this purpose to love God and to love people by being a faithful husband, an available father, a loyal friend, and a loving leader.
Mm-hmm.
And so over the years, I've tried to use that as a filter, because a filter removes impurity. So we have a coffee filter, so we have a nice cup of coffee.
Mm-hmm.
We have an oil filter, so it removes those impurities so the engine keeps running. We have air filters so we can breathe better. So when we have that purpose statement, it can serve as a filter then in our decision-making to say, wow, that doesn't align
exactly
with my purpose. So I'm going to say no
right
to that opportunity.
Right, right. I'm going to take this path. I'm not going to take that path. And
exactly.
And that's so true. I love that filter. It's very true. I love that you do like a one line prayer at the end of this. Just
yeah,
one line.
Some of the best prayers in the Bible are not very long.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Lord's Prayer, I think, is one sentence. And so I think but prayer is so powerful.
Yes.
Again, prayer is more for us than for the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
He already knows what's going to happen,
mm-hmm,
but he wants our hearts to align with his.
That's right. That's right. It's a beautiful book. As I told you before we came on, my brothers and husband and a few other men in my life will get this book for Father's Day, because it's needed. I think, you know, when you talk about growth and maturity in our men, you know, they need the Lord just as much as we do. Of course, you know, more women, we recognize it faster and we're in there. It takes a little minute for a man sometimes.
It does, and you know, Tawanda, a big part of what motivated me to write these devotionals is gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
Gratitude to God, but also gratitude to the men in my life. I had a neighbor that took a chance on me. He let me work for him, and he taught me about business. I had another neighbor that took me hunting and fishing and taught me to enjoy the outdoors. I had a businessman that discipled me in college. And so these men over the years that have taken time to say, hey, Boyd, I'm a few years ahead of you. Let me
yeah
tell you where I messed up. Don't
mm-hmm
make my same mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And here's some wisdom to consider to follow in your marriage, in parenting, in relationships, in managing money, all these different areas. And so I think as men, the more we can take time to be mentored,
yes,
and to mentor others,
yes,
God will bless that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a responsibility. It really is.
It is. To whom much is given, much
is
required.
Required. That's right.
Jesus said it.
That's
that
right.
Big responsibility.
It is a big responsibility. Boy, is the book in all the bookstores?
It is, and we're grateful to Harvest House Publishers. So
mm-hmm
they've actually got 4 other titles after this one that they'll be producing, and one for women, one for the Gospels, and one for the Book of Revelation,
awesome,
and one for leaders. So it'll be fun to see. And there's also one for Proverbs that came out in the fall. But yes, Amazon has it. They can go to wisdomhunters.com. We actually have around 170,000 readers now. I still write these devotionals every day, so
mm-hmm
they can receive it through email or
awesome
by the app or through social media.
Okay. 2 Minutes in the Bible for Men, a 90-day devotional. Boyd Bailey is the author. And I think you just gave a website. Did you?
Yes, wisdomhunters.com.
All right, wisdomhunters.com. Thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome. What a pleasure, Tawana. Thank you for what you do.